Hello, hello. This is Kinnack coming back for you for the quarantine edition of the Metroplexity podcast. We are once again experimenting with some slight dystopian themes in reality, but let's ignore about that a little bit and dig in to some slight dystopian themes in Metroplex. First off, we've got a couple questions from Goku. I think this is the first time you have asked on the podcast. Thanks for joining us. Could you expand a bit on what triggers learning different script techniques given by the Black Tablet Shard? I mean, it's a legacy item, but I think it could use some spading because, judging from the rookie, some triggers are unknown or unspoken. Let me take a look-see. Yeah, each of the techniques has multiple possible triggers, which might be part of why that is a little harder to figure out. Excuse me. I'm not sure if you can hear that. I just have some bubbly stomach stuff going on, not secretly coughing. The headset that I'm currently using does not have a mute function, so if there are any strange noises, you're unfortunately just going to have to deal with them. Yeah, it looks like the each of the techniques has a couple of different ways to get that, and the messages that you get as a result do not actually specify why. You managed to unlock either of them, so that does make things more than a little tricky. So far, I've only got four of the angular script techniques. I've tried varying my combat style, melee range, and stealth, using the technique maybe 25 times in opponents varying creeds, etheric beasts, humans, robots. I haven't gotten much further than getting those four techniques. I'm working on it. A pointer would be super helpful, but not necessary. Well, let me to see which of them it actually is, because it's been a while since I've thought about that. Okay. Yeah, there are some things that you can change with your deck that can affect that, but there's also a couple of other triggers as well. The thing it wants in your deck is something fairly specific, though, and you have to kind of dig into, I think, the underlying meaning of the runes bit for that to come out. Edit. Okay, so it looks like I was just unlucky, since I'm supposed to have gotten a few more of the script techniques. Still missing one, though. Since I kind of answered my first question, my second question is probably the same answer. While adventuring with the elegant torn pants, killing varying opponents, I still have not received any patches. To be honest, seeing how long it took to get my script techniques, maybe I'm just unlucky. There are a lot of opponents that will not drop patches. That is does sort of tie into the sort of etheric beast, humans, robots things that you're talking about up top. So make sure that you're fighting a lot of things that reasonably might drop patches. Second, we've got some questions coming in from Magnifico. Yay, the sun! Glad to hear photosynthesis kicking in again. Yeah, no, the weather here has actually been pretty nice. Which is good, makes it easier to be away from people while also not being like stuck in the house, which is a pretty good combo. I've been doing a bit of contracting with Nintendo, which has been interesting in a number of ways. A lot of fun, really, just in general. But the stuff that I've been doing is sort of treated as sort of industry secrets, I guess. So we're sort of locked in a room, testing stuff, more or less. I don't want to say locked in a room. That's obviously not what's going on. But we're not allowed to take any of the materials that we're working on outside the room. And so that's all been on site. So it's been interesting to watch sort of their infrastructure empty out. And just today, they have a really nice cafeteria, which I've obviously been eating a lot of lunches at, and not the cafeteria itself, but all the seating closed, and I ended up eating on a park bench next to their soccer field, and it was actually very nice, but that's sort of Redmond in a nutshell right now. A while ago, he said there was a good-sized chunk of Matsuoka goodness still to be found. Was Fire Dancer it, or is there still more? Like, maybe a Matsuo avatar? And if there isn't one, could there be? Fire Dancer was the main thing that I was talking about. There's still a couple little bits hidden around. But yeah, that was the big one that was waiting for there to be found. There is not currently a Matsuo avatar, but that definitely could be in the cards. Pretty easily. And we've sort of established that we've got some, yeah, whether it is like an incarnation of Matsuo or a cosplay option, both are possible out there. In 2012, wow, you said that there were two secrets in the Black Sketchbook, one just a little hidden and one terrifyingly buried. 8 years later, Goku found the just a little hidden one. You said the other one requires a fairly significant amount of non-Charnel House stuff to even start on it. Can we have a little hint about where to start looking for a way into this content? So it requires a extremely specific item from outside the Charnel House that might not be immediately what you'd expect. It's not something. It's something that I feel will probably make a little bit, or rather, a lot of sense in retrospect. Be like, oh yeah, that kind of follows. But it's a very, very specific item that interacts with the Charnel House stuff. If you beat your head on the right rocks, so to speak. If you skip this question again like you did last podcast, I'll know you're avoiding answering it on purpose. Back in the day, you said there would someday be a skill tied to the blotted document that you hadn't implemented yet. Did you ever wind up implementing it? No, I still have not. Let me actually open the ceremonial note file here. Item 1935 is smack dab in the middle of items related to the Coat of Mysterious Circuitry. Is it part of the coat content or is it just coincidence? In either case, is it something that we can get? Let me take a look-see. There are occasionally just gaps in the item database. That is not actually a gap. It is sort of thematically related to the Code of Mysterious Circuitry. It's part of something else that I was kind of working on at the same time. But it does not directly require or interact with the code. So it's not a hidden mystery of the code. It's a hidden mystery of other sort of related stuff. That one is, I'm not going to say that that is as mean as the terrifyingly buried one we were just talking about. But it's like if that one is like S tier, then this is like A, right? Or if that's A, this is B, which it would make sense to, I guess, the non-anime people in the audience. Unless more things use, more countries use S tier than I am aware of. Similarly, item 1313 is in there with Midgard player content. Is this one a coincidence? I am almost positive it's a similar situation. Something where I was working on it. Okay, actually, let me. I'm doing some a little bit of sleuthing here. I might have to take that back. Wow, okay, that actually is related. So yeah, if I've given an answer before where I was like, "Ah, oh, you have like two big things to find out about the Midgard player," I was incorrect. There is whatever I said plus one, because I had completely forgotten about that item, and that is some tricky stuff to get that. Some tricky stuff which I love and it makes me happy. So thank you for asking that question. It brings a smile to my face. Using four Midgard player recordings in the same day gives a message about how you really understand the recordings. You can almost feel your heart beating along with them. We've never figured out what this does. It seems significant. Any hint on what's going on here and how big a deal it is? Oh, apologies if there are little like rattling sounds or other weirdness going on. Part of the reason that this podcast is a little later than I was originally planning is because Liz, my spouse, is her company has sent everyone to work from home, so part of our apartment kind of got filled with her work. And so I'm kind of taking over her work desk for the moment while she plays Fire Emblem in the living room. It is the message that you're looking at there is Oh, it's right here. That whole set of messages. Are sort of tied together into a system. So that message itself doesn't mean a ton. I would go so far as to say that it doesn't really mean anything. But as part of, like, as an indicator for where you are on the track, it might be significant. The stuff that comes after it is generally, and by after it I mean literally like the following paragraphs, is generally more relevant, and that's sort of trying to help steer you a bit as far as what's going on and how to get those. No rush, but at some point I imagine we'll be voting on the next unearthly items to bring back into the rotation. So in accordance with the relatively newfangled but still traditional tradition, how about we round up the spading status on all the contenders? Actually, I wanted to talk about this a little bit. Something that I've been thinking about with the sort of longer gaps between unearthly items, both because I'm not always in a great place to work on things, and am have started having to do more outside work, and that's probably only going to increase with coronavirus stuff, because there's this weird like roundabout chain here, because our old house in Columbus, we've been Airbnb-ing it, and that has actually been going really well. I've been covering, you know, the mortgage and everything. And it's obviously not going to do that right now. Not a lot of travel. Not a lot of people, you know, heading out to go to, you know, weightlifting competitions or game conventions or even, you know, to hang out with their family. I think school, by school, I'm talking about the Ohio State University, which is sort of right down the street from where our house was, is canceled. And if not, I hope to God it is soon, because that place is already kind of a cesspit of, like, disease. And, you know, I mean, it's a college, right? That's just kind of how that goes. So I've got sort of on the one hand, I've got not producing a ton of unearthly items, and on the other hand, I've been, even when I haven't been getting stuff done, I've been focusing more on sort of the patron request side of things. I'm obviously more than happy to put in new, you know, free content for everyone if that's what the patrons are interested in. And the patrons absolutely are covering, you know, server costs and everything. So I don't really need to push out a bunch of unearthly items. It's not really a, even if I were, you know, churning them out one a month, wouldn't necessarily be realistic as a, like, it wouldn't be, you know, paying the bills regardless, right? And that's not like give me more money, that's just kind of how things are. But all that said, that means that there's that things aren't rotating a lot, and that's kind of a bummer. So what I was considering doing was basically having, like, so always having the most recent five, or maybe even going down to the most recent three. I don't know. We can figure out the exact details if we decide to do something like that, but and then have the rotation in the back happen automatically, like once a month, regardless of what I'm doing. So, like, there's some tricky stuff where I'm not sure exactly what would happen with pushing out new unearthly items. I would probably, I'm just sort of designing in my head right now. I'd probably do something like the new item would come out and it would be part of that season, and then when the next season comes around, it would any extra dangling recent items would get cleared out then, and obviously the old items would advance from the voting, something like that, just so that I don't have to nail sort of the beginning of the month for as the only time that I could get items out, because that reduces the chance of getting them out by really a lot. So yeah, that's something that I've been kind of kicking around, because just to sort of have the rotations be a little more lively, because we've been stuck on the same rotation for quite a while, and it would take a decent chunk of work to get it to rotate more like what I'm talking about, but at the same time, might be worth it, right? So, yeah. Everybody, let me know what you think. I might post a poll or something on Patreon too, but just sort of thinking out loud about that for right now. Anyway, back to the actual question. Red lensed goggles. Since the last time you mentioned these on a podcast, we found the Kraken's Pearl and the Trixie bonus XP from using sciency techniques. The Academy laughed. When they said we couldn't figure it out completely, but we showed them. We showed them all. Or did we? Let me. I think there might still be a pretty. Like, so there might be like the very last thing that you have to figure out. Let me double check real quick if anybody has it. Okay, yeah. No, I think you're actually have that more or less figured out. The only hanging thing there is I would like to at some point. I'm really tempted to put some cooking content in there, so I might go back and do that the next time it rotates in, or if rotations are happening more frequently than at some point when it rotates in. Antique floor mirror. Okay, I know there is more to find here. My understanding is what left to find requires cross-pollination among the different seasons. Any pointers to get us looking at this item again? So the major things that are kind of undiscovered, I guess, go in kind of two baskets. One of them is just very it's just very tricky, requires a lot of sort of what I was talking about the runes before. There's sort of, I don't want to say like a deeper meaning, but like if you can kind of the way that things work in the story is informing the unlocks. So there is a pretty serious one that involves stuff within the mirror, but also outside, and how those kind of interplay in a pretty deep way. The other, which isn't like these aren't necessarily just like one thing individually, but it is like categories. The other also kind of involves stuff outside the mirror in that it's not actually in adventures, but it requires sort of taking a different look at crafting, and getting kind of into the right groove with that. And that one, I was totally kind of expecting people to figure out. And then looking back at it, I'm kind of like, why did I ever expect people to figure that out? That's actually pretty hard. We'll see how that goes. Dance account figure. This is a one card item. We know about three techniques, an item, and an encounter. Have we found everything, or is there still more to do in the Striding Hut? Let me take a look again, real quick. There is one sort of cute little interaction that I think you're missing, which is not like an amazing secret or anything. It's borderline Easter egg, but there is a tiny little thing still there to figure out. I think I don't know. I kind of like things like that. Like someday someone will stumble upon it and be like, "Wait, what?" And then like, "Oh," but it's just like just a morsel of that. And then the Tattered Horror paperback. Last time this came up, you said there's still some meta stuff to discover. Did we find it all? If not, what kind of thing counts as meta here? There are some sort of underlying patterns in how, certain numbers are generated and stuff like that, that I'm not sure are fully understood. But that's, I mean, I'm not even sure if that really counts, right? That's kind of the type of thing that I mean by very meta. But yeah, no, I think you've got that one pretty well in hand. Trick Top Hat. Last time this came up, we didn't know about the stage wand, but now we do. Have we made all the mysteries for this item disappear? Yes, I believe you have. There's one of those items where sort of like you've got it like exactly half figured out. But yeah, since last time we talked about it, you kind of broke through and took over the other half. Conquered the lands of mystery. Some questions from Gold S. Back in 2019, when the second wave of cookie went in, you said there were you added three new items. We found two since then, the strawberry and the crocodile tail. Could we have a hint on the third? It's not little. I'm not sure. Yeah, all right, we'll go with that. It's not little. It's less of a question, more of a suggestion, because you make ink extract a cooking ingredient, so we can make squid ink pasta. Would fit well with the Zaibatsu theme. Oh, yeah, squid ink pasta would be great. Actually, I have not had it, so it did not occur to me. But I will read up on descriptions of it, or maybe hunt some down once restaurants are open again, and try that out. Or I guess, if civilization collapses and I, hunt up some squid, see what happens. Just because, like, we are in a strange place now, I don't actually believe that civilization is in any particular risk of collapsing. Have we found all the new spider content, or is there still something skulking somewhere? There's definitely still some skulky content. Actually, I would go so far as to say there's some pretty seriously skulky content. I think when you find the remaining stuff that's hidden out there, you'll be pretty pleased with it. Just need to sort of lay your hands on the right bits, I guess. And then things will probably open up pretty rapidly from there. Kind of in a similar vein as the sort of Trick Top Hat that I was talking about. There's kind of a choke point that once that gets broken through, there's some more stuff. Did Halloween 2019 go the way you thought it would in terms of what we picked or built? Any big content missed? I noticed that we didn't succeed in getting the wine to the party proper. It was that when I went in, really with a pretty kind of open agenda. It was one of the benefits of working exclusively with one artist is that there are times that like when I'm like, hey, Puya, I'm working on this giant spider themed thing, I can get like four times as much art for that as I could for basically anything else. So there was a lot of, custom art, custom monsters and stuff, a lot more than would be in even most of the Halloweens. Not all of which was like, necessarily deep and, mechanically amazing and whatnot, because I didn't have, any more time or energy to spend on it, really, than other Halloweens. But there was a whole lot going on as different options. And I think compared to some of the other Halloweens, I think people had a pretty good bead on what they were trying to do, and part of that's just because a lot of the choices had extremely like one-to-one effects, which helps a lot. You put up a lot of bats, there are a lot of bats. You put up a lot of bats and a lot of webs, there are lots of bats and webs. Not sure you. I'm pretty sure you got the bats and webs encounter. If not, spoiler, there could have been encounter with bats caught in webs and dealing with all of that. I think there might have actually been a couple different versions of that. Is it possible at this point to fully unlock the data reader from last Halloween, or is this a link for future content? No, it is in fact capable to be fully unlocked. I put that in as kind of a community spading project, because I know that a lot of our players here are really here for like, the mysteries and cracking open the puzzle boxes, figurative or literal, that I've put in front of you. And so that one was very much one that was designed for everyone to kind of take a swing at and see what you can kind of as a community figure out. Or, if you want to hoard all of the knowledge to yourself and lord it over everyone, I mean, absolutely, go for it. That's I'm not trying to make a moral judgment here, but just wanted to put something out there that was equipped to kind of handle a lot of people going after it and give pretty clear feedback when you get to different stages in its progression. So there are some things like we were talking about the one related to the second goal quest in the Black Sketchbook, is like, so there are some things that you might make, you might be three quarters of the way to something and not have any feedback. And one of the things, particularly when you're designing a puzzle for more people, is you want to kind of not have that happen, right? You want to give more direct feedback, but at the same time, that means you've got a lot of people going after it, and you're giving, in a lot of ways, better clues. So the puzzle had better be appropriately challenging. So it's I would say it's actually probably one of the harder puzzles in the game. I would not be at all surprised if we were sitting here in 2030, and it was like, hey, whatever happened with that data reader? Can give us some fucking hints, dude. And I would probably spill some more beans then, but obviously that's not to say stop asking or anything, but I think that it's fairly challenging puzzle-wise. Questions from Al. If it hasn't been answered yet, general update on the state of the game life. The game is, I mean, needs to have more and more frequent updates. Like, that's just sort of the point that that's at. And I obviously won't argue with that, or even really, I mean, to the extent that, like, I have to take responsibility for the stupid stuff my brain does. It's my responsibility, so I can't really 100% say, 'cause I mean, there's a fine line there between just being a lazy butt and depression. So that's kind of where that is. There are a couple of sort of half finished things that I'm intending to push forward, particularly, you know, if I end up getting stuck in the house for a couple of weeks, I'll probably get some things done and then totally freak out and be useless for the rest of the quarantine. So, if that does happen, hopefully it won't last for too long. I was actually sort of advised to self-quarantine over the weekend because somebody I had contact with at Nintendo was a potential carrier for coronavirus. Thankfully, nothing really seems to be wrong. Numerically, that actually probably means that I'm a carrier and just asymptomatic. Well, that I shouldn't say probably. If the person that I had contact with was actually a carrier and not just like having unrelated but sort of similar health issues, then there's a decent chance that I'm also a carrier and asymptomatic. So I've been staying in the house a lot, not really going out. The state has made that a lot easier by sort of closing all the restaurants, or at least all the sort of dine-in parts of all the restaurants, which is what happened to the cafeteria I was talking about at Nintendo, and Puyo's Starbucks sort of closed off their sort of table cafe section today. Like, you can still walk in and get coffee and walk out, but you can't stay there and drink it, which is kind of interesting. But yeah, so life's been, whew, yeah. For those of you not in the U.S., everything that you've heard is absolutely true. It is kind of just nonsense here. Lot of spinning our wheels and making the situation worse instead of better. I guess we might nominally be doing better than the UK, but yeah, that's kind of a race for the bottom. So yeah, that's really been kind of the big thing. Obviously, it's taking up everyone's mind space. Yeah, but so yeah, the state of the game, aside from just needing more updates, I do still entirely plan to continue on with Metroplexity. It's not like the long break has been me giving up on things. It's just sort of been a combination of winter sucking and sort of a financial downward spiral that's stressing out finances, leading to doing less stuff that might bring in money, leading to more stressing about finances. I'm sure that we've all been, if not there, then at least, like, you know, stressing about finals leads to, you know, not studying and doing bad on finals, that sort of thing. It's a common piece of the human condition, I suppose. But, yeah, that's it's a decent chunk of that, and that's part of why I've been doing some of that contracting with Nintendo. Ironically, completely separately from the Zaibatsu stuff that I included, that sort of revolved around game creation and testing. That was just sort of a weird coincidence that sort of kicked in after that. Yeah, so I've only really been doing that for like a month and a half or so. But that's gotten our financial situation in hopefully a little bit more of a reasonable spot, but coronavirus might be punching us in the junk, and we'll see what happens. Not at the point where I have talked about this a little bit before. Time isn't really my main constraint, and it's definitely still not there. I just kind of need to get my head in the right place, and life isn't 100% helping out with that, but I guess weirdly in some ways it is. I'm probably going to end up doing quite a bit of design work because I can't really sit anywhere but my desk, and because it's a secured room, can't, like, use my phone at my desk. So, like, what else are you gonna do other than design games? Like, I'm sure that other people would do things other than design games. I would not do something other than design games. What upcoming content are you most looking forward to? I've got, I guess there's kind of three balls in the air, and they've all sort of been teased to varying extents on Patreon. So we've got SideQuest with Andrea, which is mostly done. I guess I don't really want to say that. We'll say half done. Just need to do a lot of connective tissue to make that happen. That's probably the next thing that'll come out. And I'm pretty excited about that, because there's some cool story beats in there. There is a unearthly item that I've been meaning to push out, have the art for that. The art's really cool. And I've got sort of was casting about for a mechanical hook for it. I found one that I think will be really neat and might baffle people for a while, but I think will ultimately be pretty enjoyable. So not like ecstatic about that one, but like, it's like, oh yeah, that'll be fun. And then the slightly longer term Yakuza side quest, and sort of introducing the players to them a little bit, get a little more of sort of the other side of Zaibatsu and what that all looks like, and also more importantly, laying the last bit of groundwork for the actual downtown quest to go into Midgard headquarters. So that's pretty cool. So that's the stuff that I'm looking forward to. If you note that list is exactly the same as the list of stuff that, like, I'm planning on doing in the short term, that is accurate. I'm not really looking to do anything that I'm not looking forward to. It sort of gets kind of a good virtuous cycle thing going on there, where working on things that makes me happy makes me happier and makes me want to work on things more. So yeah, definitely on the onboarding part of that. What upcoming content are you dreading? I haven't really been, like, thinking about those too much. I'm a little bit dreading the what I was talking about with changing the seasons to be actual months. Because it's like, I'm pretty sure it's the right idea, but like there's some real finicky coding that might blow up in my face. So that's a mixed bag, right? What's a ganger? It's just a I mean a colloquialism or possibly just straight up new word for gang member. It's used to really kind of mean it is intentionally used in world to kind of, other people, like, they're less than human can be kind of like put down appropriately. And by appropriately, I mean in the voice of the people who are saying that, not in my own voice, or necessarily in the voice of the game. But yeah. So it's not really considered politically loaded in world, but it kind of has some implications of that. It's just kind of the word people use, and it has shaped their views on what the gangs mean. To sort of pull back from that a bit, there are a lot of gangs in Metroplex because of a sort of series of economic, I don't want to say collapses exactly, but contractions in the job market, let's say it that way, between drones taking over a lot of agriculture and sort of outlying stuff that we traditionally have, like rural work, driving more people into the city, but not really having enough jobs to work in the city. And then things like drones also replacing some amount of people there, and just the continuing march of automation, but also a lot of the less skilled workforce being out of work because of the incident that created the slags, because a lot of the sort of, more like grunt factory work was happening down there. And as those get replaced and rebuilt, it's a really good time to have a lot more automation, so those jobs aren't really coming back, that sort of thing. And if you're wondering why I'm talking about all sorts of like sort of socioeconomic things, I mean, what's basically ended up happening is obviously you both have a ton of homeless in places like Southside, but you also have a lot of sort of street level organized crime, which arises from that. So if you're looking at like gangs more like the Fangs, that's really kind of where they come from. Then you also have more sort of high-end elements like the Mafia and Yakuza, and obviously weirdos like the Third Eye that are off kind of doing their own thing. But if you were to be able to pick any neighborhood in Metroplex to start in, there would more than likely be some equivalent of the Fangs in that neighborhood, just because there are so many disaffected and unemployed people that they just don't have many other choices on where to go or what to do. But then, yeah, and then sort of, so that's kind of the outside of Metroplex, big brain looking in sort of thing. And then inside Metroplex, they have a lot of problems with gang violence. And that's a huge issue for them. And so there's sort of even the people who want to be a little more understanding are also like, in a lot of cases, their lives are in danger. I mean, people like Mikhail, who would really like to see the nice side of everyone, 'cause he's a pretty good dude. Isn't necessarily able to do everything that he would like to help, just because the situation has gotten so bad. Very early podcast questions were concerned with a walk with the blind side quest that wasn't implemented. Did that turn into punk uprising in the quad, or is there another plan for that hook? No, the Blind Legion still has kind of a bit of an open hook, and I have actually some art from back then that is still sort of earmarked for that. The punk uprising is kind of related to that, absolutely, but might have ended up using some of the art too, just because the Blind Legion tends to have a lot of fire techniques, so there was some overlap there. But yeah, there's still some that's still kind of in the wings. Is there anything special with the encounter where you look down at the quad from the Hall of Sculptures? It doesn't seem to change when the protest or Christmas is going on. I should probably have alternate versions of that. It's possible. Possible they're even supposed to be alternate versions of it. It doesn't work. I think I probably just missed it. Dusty questions. You said that the dusty clipboard has a very canonical place in Metroplex. Will become clearer in time. Have we seen that place yet? Only in the most like malicious compliance version of scene. There are people you will hopefully eventually, get to meet that are related to it, who are sort of very relevant to what's going on, but you have not gotten to meet them yet. In the Wispy Hospital Pants, if you give the beggar old coins, you get the Boon of Protection, which is described as you brighten someone's day with the artifacts of a war. Is there any connection between the Orbital Wars and old coins, or is there something significant there? There's more than one way to get that buff. That said, the old coins are sort of they're both pre-Orbital Wars currency, so they carry a bit of that sort of a scent of nationalism about them. And I mean that without a lot of judgment, obviously. The story of the Orbital Wars is like a system with sort of mixed ethical issues being replaced by a different system with probably even worse ethical issues. So, it's not just me shaking my fist at the clouds, although I'm not a huge fan of nationalism to begin with. But so yeah, there's kind of an implication there that they're pre-Orbital Wars coinage from issued by nation states rather than the corporations. And also, I mean, just kind of how you get them in a lot of cases. I mean, they are sort of deeply tied into conflict, kind of in the game's narrative, I guess, like in the narrative that the mechanics tell, if that makes any sense. So yeah, there's I was sort of momentarily baffled, but yeah, it does kind of link in there, and then there's pretty sure it's possible that I cut it out when I was finishing development, but originally, at least, there was a design element where there was an alternate way to get the boon of protection that was sort of tied in to the Overlord Wars more directly. What's the significance of the sorceress wearing a stethoscope? So the dusty items obviously all kind of are interrelated with one another, and they have in addition to the sort of base level narrative that they all have, there's also a, I mean, I don't want to call it a meta narrative because that sounds a bit like bit on my own ass, but there's also bits here and there that are more about like the kind of the origins of those narratives, if that makes sense. And so there are bits like that that are kind of intentionally there to reflect sort of those common threads and origins. And some questions from Cryptodynamic. Hey, Kennec, looks like I'm joining you and living in interesting times with coronavirus containment zone only about 20 minutes away from me. Yeah, we're it's been it's, it has been a really interesting couple of, well, I want to say a couple of weeks, but it's really been a couple of months starting from watching things over in China to containment utterly failing. The it's interesting how much it reading the news really has played out like the montage at the beginning of every zombie or plague disaster movie. Which, I mean, amuses me at some level. Maybe that makes me a terrible person, but it's just kind of like, yep, this is kind of what this looks like. Yeah, we're up in Redmond, which is close to kind of ground zero for the U.S. down in Kirkland, where we had the first death, so that nursing home. But yeah, there's things have gone pretty sour, and we're yeah, it's really. One of those things where it's just like, yeah, things are gonna get worse before they get better, and hopefully at the end of the day they get enough better to make that hit worth it, I guess. So yeah, interesting times. How are we doing with working out the secrets of the Raider mask? At a 1-coin item, I feel like there's probably a decent chance we've shaken out most of it, I think. Got. I think that is probably it. Let me take a quick look-see. That was me chuckling about a couple of things that definitely already know in one form or another. Yeah, I think you've got that pretty well covered. It's possible I have also forgotten something, but I think you've gotten it pretty well sorted. I'm going to check one more place, which is sneaky place that I would hide sneaky things, but. Looks like you got things pretty well under control. Just didn't want to discourage anyone from poking at stuff if that was not if there were still some things hiding out. All right. When it comes to browsing shared file hacking, would you be willing to confirm whether or not there are any download results which require more than the minimum level of view functions needed for a standard success? Ooh, let me looks like pretty much once you get into the results, there's quite a bit of random chance, luck and so forth, but also some, obviously some trickier unlocks. But I do not see anything, at least yet, obviously, I might go back and add something like that at some point. That requires additional view. So, take that for what it's worth, I guess. I do not promise that that will stay true, but I'm fairly sure that that's true right now. Throwing dice was a neat surprise past Christmas, and the setup looks like it's got room for future expansion and more ice sculptures. Do you expect we'll be seeing other options there in the future? Yeah, absolutely. That is definitely the plan going forward. Getting some more ice in there, and some more snowmen, and some more ice, and sort of rounding out our collection of frozen Christmas friends moving forward. And on the subject of Christmas, any chance of a new hint on snow snakes? They can't hide from us forever. Let's see. I've definitely told you a few things about them. I seem to the I remember actually looking at it this Christmas, and there is sort of a point where it's like, hey, snow snakes. And even then, it's not necessarily immediate obvious what you have to do with them. And I think it hit the point where they were unlocked. I believe it was towards the end, so I don't think people necessarily had a lot of time to play around with it. But it was either very close, sort of one way or another. And yeah, it, there's they require a bit of a different approach. They have a different hunting style, so to speak, than the rest of the snow goons. How disastrous would it be for a tabletop RPG group in Metroplex U to get messed up with clips, or perhaps even worse, some LARPers? First of all, it really depends on the group, I feel like, a lot. You don't necessarily get to see a ton of it, but there are certainly, like, if a group brings enough sort of positive energy, to speak in very fluffy terms, to the experience, like, it could actually be a very useful sort of thing. And there are also options like your little mini dungeon you can carry around with you. But yeah, most of the LARP groups that I've run into would end up with a much darker sort of creation than more traditional tabletop groups, just because so many LARPs are kind of about the. Mean. Supernatural infighting and backbiting and betrayal. Something more along the lines of like Penzic. I think it's Penzic. No, Penzic is a different thing, I'm sorry. I'm not gonna be able to come up with the name. Maybe it even is Penzic, but the big boffer war throwing beanbags at people. Type LARPing could very easily create, some more positive effects, or at least you get, sweet fireball techniques out of it. But more like, sort of the more like gothy vampire LARPing would be more concerning at Ohio State's campus when Liz was going there for graduate school. There was a group of people who would be LARPing vampire just constantly. They would always be on the steps of sort of the. Maybe this wasn't even OSU. I think it was OSU. Maybe I'm. Yeah, I was OSU. Okay, great. Sorry. I've clearly gotten old. Things from my youths are getting muddled together. But anyway, they would sit on the steps of like the facilities building, like where they had like the generators and stuff, and just be extremely obviously LARPing constantly. So the people who are in kind of the overlapping, not LARPers, but aware of Vampire the Masquerade, all thought that it was very funny because they were so obviously vampires, right? Like, it's just like, wow, this is like, you are so bad at the masquerade. Like, it's in the name, come on. But they were having fun. And, well, fun and drama in the way that they wanted to be dramaful. Not my cup of tea, but folks are gonna role play how they want to role play, and any of that generally makes me happy, as long as they're not hurting other people, which unfortunately does happen. Just not the dark dungeons, Tom Hanks, kidnapping people, satanic panic sort of way. Just in the, like, sometimes people are just dicks to each other. And role playing is unfortunately not a magical cure-all, as much as it is a good thing and can really, open people's eyes to what it's like to live in somebody else's skin, which is both, completely metal sounding. But also, is really something that I feel like we're lacking a lot of. And that's not like a, people today don't understand each other because of the internet or anything. Nah, like, if anything, probably the opposite of that. It's just like a general statement on the human condition. We're not good at really inhabiting other people's viewpoints for any length of time. And as much as role playing is an awesome hobby that I really enjoy, I feel like it's also really good training to do that if you choose to delve into sort of the edges of your comfort zone, not just play yourself with pointy ears and a bow, which obviously is also fine, but doesn't get you the sort of benefits that I was talking about there necessarily. All right, well, that's all we've got for the coronavirus, and I got through it without coughing on anything, so signs look good so far. In the near future, I'll probably be working on the quests like I was talking about for Andrea, a little side quest. It's very small, but I think people will appreciate it. And also, new unearthly item and probably like use of stuff. And we'll see how the sort of collapse of modern civilization plays into that. I don't expect it to have a ton of effect, honestly, but I'll try to keep you posted. Thanks very much for your questions and for listening. And if you are supporting us on Patreon, I really appreciate it. You are the people who are, as much as me, responsible for keeping the game running. Like, I, obviously at this point, you know that I'm not always, able to, get out, updates in sort of a regimented, fashion, and, your, financial support through Patreon means that the game can continue running even when I'm wrestling with mental demons or what have you, which admittedly makes that sound way more badass than it actually is, but I will take it. Anyway, I hope that you are enjoying the game. I hope that you've gotten some hints that are both helpful and frustratingly vague. I really there's really a sweet spot there that I aim for. I hope that I 100%ed that for you. Or, maybe accidentally gave you one or two that were too helpful. We'll see what happens. See what you can find out, and see what new mysteries will start to seep into the game moving forward. Thanks again, and I will talk to you next time.